This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
To the right side, waits for Draymond. Screen set, deep three on the way. Splash! Curry makes it 105-94. Warriors have their largest lead of the night right now.
Now back to Willard and Diggs. Take it away, Mark.
Okay, Steph, that's what we're going to do. From one guy who can shoot a free throw, about to talk to another guy who can shoot a free throw. We're going to see if you can shoot a free throw. The knockout tournament qualification time has arrived, and here's what we're going to do, because normally it's right around just after 4 o'clock when we give you the keyword and then give you the directions on how you can win your way in to our knockout tournament. Here's what we'll say, because we're about to talk to Coach Kerr. The second that that conversation is done, we'll hand out the keyword to you. So sit back, relax, listen to Coach Kerr, and then we'll have that keyword as soon as we wrap up. Out to the River Islands guest line we go. It is time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. It's been a great start for Jimmy Butler with the Warriors. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, we're doing good, man. And these two wins since the acquisition of Jimmy Butler certainly have everybody's eyebrows up. I wonder if you could kind of take us through the effect of the last 6 days, an emotional night 6 days ago when you trade some players away. But now this boost of these two games, how much of it do you attribute directly to Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing really kind of captures what the NBA can be, you know, where you have to say goodbye to guys who you love, you know, and then you welcome a new guy and you feel a little burst of energy and maybe a, you know, resuscitation of the season. And it's a reminder that, you know, this is all part of it. And it, as much as you you hate to see guys go and you grow attached to people, It's always about winning, and you know the players understand that, and coaches understand that. But you know, whatever it takes to win, that's what you have to do. And I think ultimately, it was obvious we needed a change in this season. We were kind of stuck in mud, and this seems like the best possible move we could have made. And I give Mike Dunleavy a lot of credit. I mean, he's done an incredible job since he's been here. You know, under difficult circumstances, but he's think about the guys he's traded for, the guys he's drafted. You know, we got a pretty good group, and it's exciting.
Can you take us through the moment where you had to call the team back in the locker room to deliver the news? You obviously had some inkling that something might be afoot, but in the moment when it becomes confirmed, how do you, as the head coach, go about getting everybody back in the room and then delivering the tough news?
Well, there's not exactly a handbook for it, but, you know, the bottom line is these guys are all great friends and tight, and you know, you're together every single day. So there's no way you can not gather everybody together. You know, everybody needs to say goodbye and to have a final moment together when something like this happens. And it's not always possible. You know, a lot of times guys get traded and they're at home and, you know, that's it. And this was a rare occasion where a trade happened, you know, at the arena where the whole team is there. It happened one other time in my existence. That was when we traded Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson in Brooklyn right before a game about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And so it was, it's a strange moment, but it's one that I think you have to have with the group just to be able to express thanks and say goodbye.
Coach, I have to admit, then after the game, I was surprised to hear you say you've never even met Jimmy Butler. How, with all the dealings throughout the league, how is that possible? And then what were your first impressions?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you, I would say probably half the guys in the league I've actually shaken hands with and met. A lot of guys you just play against, but you don't really, you know, you don't spend time with them. You don't really, you know, say anything to them or vice versa. And so that was the case with Jimmy. Obviously, he's been in the East, you know, for most of his career, so only played him a couple times a year. And there was just never a moment where we, you know, even said hello. So it's a brand new relationship, but, you know, it's great timing. I mean, what I've learned in this league is everything is about timing for players, for organizations. When you get a guy is so crucial, and it feels like we're getting him at the right time for him and for us.
Well, now that you've known him a long time, I mean, 5 days by my count, it's time for some sweeping judgment, Steve. What have you made so far of just working with Jimmy? I know it's a really, really small sample, but what has surprised you most about having Jimmy in the building?
I don't know if anything has surprised me. You know, it's just really fun to see him play when he's on your team and you get to watch the tape and you see all the little things that he does. And it makes sense, you know, because he's not a guy who jumps off the page like, you know, like other players in the league who are, you know, maybe more athletic or better shooters or whatever. It's just, it's the totality of the package with Jimmy. It's the incredible IQ, the amazing fundamentals. I mean, you saw the play he was making against the zone last night where he'd catch in the middle, you know, pivot like it was John Wooden basketball camp, you know, in 1974, and then make a perfect bounce pass to Quentin or Draymond for a dunk. It's like you'd be surprised, but there aren't that many guys in the NBA who have that level of a fundamental base. So when it comes in a star player's body and package, it's really powerful. And so watching the tape this morning and after the Chicago game, you just get a sense of why Jimmy is so great, and it's everything. It's the competitiveness, it's the skill, it's the passing, it's the awareness, the feel. He's just got an amazing game.
Coach Steve Kerr with us, as he is every week. Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, there's what we all see on the basketball court. I'm interested in what we don't see. How has he fit into the locker room so far?
He's been great. He's right in the middle of the card game on the plane with Draymond and Steph. There seems to be a lot of laughter in that locker room. You know, he's a very charismatic guy. And I think, like I said, it's great timing. I mean, he needed a change, obviously. He had a great run in Miami, and he was ready for something different. And we needed a burst, and you can feel that it's a good fit, both on the court and in the locker room. He's just got really good energy about him. He's thrilled to be here. The guys are happy he's here, and there's a sense of confidence that he can really help us get where we want to go.
Coach, I'm interested in this because we all know what was being said about Jimmy in Miami and everything that was going on there for the weeks leading up to this. And so that locker room fit, there was even a report at one point that you and Steph Curry were kind of curious about the locker room fit. With what we know about a big personality like that, to what level was that something you guys talked about and considered?
Well, you know, it's not nearly as big of a deal or as much of a thing as you think it might be. I mean, honestly, Steph and I do not have a huge role in this stuff. Mike is great about, checking in with us, letting us know, what he's thinking, what deals are potentially out there. But neither Steph nor I is dictating any of this stuff. And that's how it should be. I mean, I believe in the separation of church and state. You know, I think it's really hard for a coach to make personnel moves or a star player to dictate them. There's a reason that it's a healthy separation. And so I think any of these conversations were not nearly as extensive and as detailed as you might think. It was more, Mike touching base occasionally during the last couple weeks and saying, hey, here's what we're working on, and that's about it.
And here he is, and it seems to me to be a great fit after two games, but how does it change the way you go about playing from a pace and tempo standpoint and maybe less of a reliance on the three-point shot? When you look at it through two games, how does it change the way you go about playing?
Well, he just, based on who he is, he automatically controls the game. It's really interesting. I mean, all we did was give him three or four plays that we run, a couple out-of-bounds plays, and that's it. We had a shoot-around, one shoot-around in the last 3 days, and no practice time other than that. And it didn't matter. Like, he just knows how to play, and there's a tempo and a pace that he plays at, never gets sped up, and it's not impacting, like, the number of threes we're taking. In fact, I think it's improving our shot quality. But what the biggest thing is his ability to pass and manipulate defenses means Steph and Buddy and those guys are Moses. They're getting better looks on the back end of possessions, much like Steph did, in the early years with Andre and Sean Livingston and guys like that who just had great feel, like Jimmy. So the possessions seem cleaner, and then the ability to get to the line, which is something we frankly never had since I've been here. I think 28 free throws in two games. Amazing the calming effect that free throws have on a game. And so Jimmy's bringing all of that to the table and more.
Steve, the core of this team has been in place for so long. And sure, there was Durant for a period of time and obviously Clay throughout most of it. But Steph and Draymond are like the heartbeat of the whole organization. How does the stew kind of change with this new ingredient? You know what I mean? Like, how does the identity of the whole squad adjust with a presence like Jimmy Butler now on it?
I think it's interesting just, being a part of a team, year after year, and you see the subtle shifts in the psychology, the emotion, the confidence. Some of it is based on the roster itself. Some of it is based on the rest of the league, where the league is and how other teams are doing. And so I just think we had gotten to a point, that really this year where we didn't have the whatever it is, however you want to describe it, we didn't have the it factor anymore. And wasn't anybody's fault. Sometimes you just need new blood. I think the West has gotten so much better. Teams around us have gotten so much better. And frankly, we needed what Jimmy is bringing us, which is kind of a star confidence. You can just feel his presence and his force. And I think it's infusing the team with some energy, some new energy that we needed.
And maybe some new confidence as well. Is it fair to say that? And you got Quentin Post, who is now suddenly emerging, and Moses Moody getting more minutes, and Buddy Hield looks to be coming a little bit out of his funk. Is that a byproduct of a star and the confidence he brings, or is it the way he plays in terms of getting other guys involved in better spaces?
It's both. It's confidence that he brings to the group, but it's basketball IQ. And, this is, to me, this is what made the Warriors special from 15 to, through 22 was just the incredible IQ that supported Steph and Clay. You know, the ability to create stuff out of nothing and to create really good possessions that generated, you know, open threes on the back end rather than just coming down and launching threes, which, you know, we saw more of that, I think, the last, you know, this year, early in the season for sure. So it's a combination of all that. But, you know, I mentioned earlier what Mike has done in his year and a half here. You know, these guys who he's brought in, Brandon and Quentin and, you know, Jimmy, I mean, to me, these guys are rounding out our team in a really important way. Chris Paul last year, you know, very, very similar. Just adding the IQ and the feel that allows Steph to really thrive has been hugely important. And I think Mike has played a big role in all that.
Hey, Steve, before we completely move on from any Andrew Wiggins-related kind of conversation, I'd love to know how you guys created the environment that allowed him to thrive. Because it wasn't necessarily hitting exactly right in Minnesota. And whatever the mix was here with you guys, it seemed to bring out the best in him. What's your read on that?
I just think Steph Curry brings the best out in everyone around him, coaches, players. I think the organization that we've built, you know, that Bob Myers built, that Joe Lacob has built, we have amazing people. You know, Rick Celebrini is a great example of someone who helps set the culture. And we got a lot of really good people who create a healthy environment for players to really thrive in. But it all comes back to Steph. This guy is such a special player, such a special human being. He embraces everybody. So to me, Steph brings out the best in his teammates, and I think he brought out the best in Wiggs and gave him, you know, the space and the confidence to be himself, but also to fit in with what we did. And then Wiggs was exactly what we needed, you know, at that time, transitioning away from Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston. We desperately needed Wiggs' length and athleticism, defense, you know, ability to attack. And I will never forget Wiggs, what an incredible teammate he was, human being. And, of course, the 22 championship, which, you know, we don't win without him. What a great, great, great guy to coach, a wonderful person to be around every day. And we're going to miss Wiggs.
In light of all that, how difficult was it in that moment to have to deliver the news, which, you know, in our business, Steve, Mark and I have been doing the trade machine, and it seems like every trade involves Andrew Wiggins when you're playing around with that trade machine, and yet when it actually happens, it had to be a visceral, emotional moment for everyone.
Yeah, it was tough, but I think Andrew, to his credit, handled it really well. He knew that it was a real possibility, given all the rumors, given his conversations with his agent. I think, you know, he was well aware that this was a real possibility. Doesn't take away the shock of it, but yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's these are moments that are really difficult in the NBA, but they're part of it, and you know it when you come in. You learn it, you figure it out as you go. As a young player, you see guys come and go, and you realize, oh man, that's going to be me someday. For 99% of these guys, so you have to accept it and hopefully even embrace it, because it helps a lot if you can kind of approach it that way and still give the best of yourself every day.
Hey, Coach, where's this Quentin Post story going, man? Like, he's on a two-way contract one week. The next week, he's screaming at people and knocking down multiple threes. Like, what? Where are we going with this guy?
Pretty impressive, isn't it? You know, the guy was a 51st pick, and it's funny because after the fact, it's always easy to say, well, man, he should have been picked a lot higher, you know, but I think what was overlooked was just his toughness and his, I call it play speed. I think I read that expression when I was reading about Puka Nacua last year when the Rams drafted him. And I was, you know, I love football. I love this stuff. And the Rams were talking about, yeah, he only ran a 4.6, but he looked fast, way faster on tape. And when you watch Quentin, you know, your first instinct, well, big 7-foot white guy is not going to be that quick, but he plays fast. Like he's so demonstrative with what he does because he sees the game. He processes things really quickly. So, you know, he makes the pass quickly. He makes the rotation quickly. He rolls quickly. He catches and shoots it. And there's no hesitation in his game. So it makes him quicker than what he probably is, but that's kind of the game right there. You know, that's why he's making this adjustment so well.
You know, you just sounded like you were describing Brock Purdy. Like you just used of the same stuff that people say when they talk about Brock.
Totally agree. That's a really good comp in that regard. It's, you know, there's different kinds of athleticism. You know, there's the run and jump stuff, but there's the processing stuff. Patrick Mahomes, you know, has it, you know. Tom Brady obviously had like incredible processing skills, and so the quarterbacking stuff, I'm sure that's a big part of that. But I think it's a big part of any athlete in a team sport where you have to make decisions quickly. You know, how fast can you process the game? Quentin can process it really quickly, and he happens to be a skilled passer and shooter. So this thing looks like it's got staying power.
So, Steve, he's certainly worked his way into your lineup now, and I'm not going to ask you about a lineup 5, 6, 7 games from now, but I am curious about this. Like, what do you foresee when Jonathan Kuminga comes back from this perspective? Like, how were you feeling before he got hurt about how he was handling the role off the bench in those particular minutes?
JK was, I thought he was playing the best basketball of his career those last couple weeks before he got hurt, and that was his minutes came off the bench, but you know he didn't mind. I mean, he was playing a lot. He was playing 30 plus minutes. So whether it's off the bench or as a starter, the thing I'm most interested in with Jonathan is picking up where he left off, because what he was doing was making quick decisions, making simple plays, and just playing the game. And it looked to me like things had slowed down for him quite a bit. And that's when guys can really start to blossom, when they see the game more clearly. And that's what I'm excited about, you know, getting JK back whenever it is in a couple weeks, hopefully. I can't wait to get him back out there.
Little bit of a different look going to Dallas in the game tomorrow. No Kuminga for you. They've got Clay. They don't have Luka. You've got Jimmy Butler. It seems like a year ago all of this would have been nonsensical, but you look at this Dallas team and where they are and how your team is playing. Are you getting a sense of urgency knowing that, you know, you've openly said you need to climb up to the 6 if possible?
Well, we'd like to. That's the goal. It's going to be difficult, but obviously you know, shoot for 6, get as high up as you can. Just having been in the play-in a couple of times, I can tell you 7 or 8 is way better, getting 2 cracks than 9 or 10 and just getting 1. You know, you got to win 2 straight. That's a tougher proposition. So we're trying to climb the ladder, and we know that the only way to do that is by, being rock solid. We got to get lucky with our health. But the good news is Jimmy's a great fit. We got a lot of guys who are playing well, and we've got a chance here to build some momentum. So, yeah, two big games coming before the break.
Coach, you're in Dallas, and I know you're well aware that fan base is going through it right now after that trade and feeling some frustration. There's even been some very unfortunate behavior, death threats toward Nico Harrison, et cetera. I wonder what your sense is of that, and if you can compare it to anything else that you've experienced in NBA life, maybe even all of the Kraus and Reinsdorf stuff back in the day. Like, what's your thought on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tough. When I was GM in Phoenix, I got death threats after the Shaq trade. We traded Sean Marion for Shaq, and I got some death threats via email. You sort of know deep down, like, nobody's really going to try to kill you over a basketball trade, you know. But it's really disconcerting at the same time, you know, to have somebody threaten your life. So I really feel for Nico, and it's terrible behavior. It's sort of modern modern society, modern life, the way we live with social media, with, you know, it sort of gives everybody, you know, this free rein to write whatever they want when they clearly wouldn't say something like that to another person's face. But it's all, you know, it's all part of modern life, and it's really sad, and I feel terrible for Nico, and hopefully, you know, this doesn't last too long.
To take it to a lighter subject, what does the 1997 three-point shootout champion say to Buddy Hield before this weekend?
You don't say anything ever to Buddy Hield. You just hand him the ball and you let it rip. So I got no advice for Buddy.
You don't ever talk to Buddy Hield, Coach?
I never talked to him about shooting. Talked to him about everything else. But you don't say anything about shooting. This guy, he puts up more shots than anybody, including Steph, by the way. You know, we have this tracking stuff in our facility where, you know, that we can look at every single practice attempt from our guys and know how many they made, how many they attempted in the last month. This guy shoots more shots than anybody, I think, probably in the history of the planet. It's incredible. He loves to shoot so much. He's in the gym all the time, just firing away. It's beautiful to watch him shoot. And he's one of those guys who's just, you just kind of want to leave alone and let him rip. And I think he's going to do great for that reason. He's not going to think a whole lot. He's just going to get out there and shoot 25 of them and see what happens.
Okay. Well, Coach, if you don't want to say anything about Buddy, do you want to say anything real quick about this new All-Star format, what you think about it?
Yeah, I have not thought one bit about it, and nor will I think one bit about it when I go to San Diego next weekend and play golf.
Where are you playing, Coach?
I live in San Diego in the off-season. It's kind of our home base, So I play right there in Rancho Santa Fe nearby where we live, and really a great course, and I got good friends who are there, and so I'll get out a couple times and get away. It'll be nice.
Okay, Coach, two wins in a row. Two more would be real nice. Good luck rest of the week. Enjoy that golf course, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Okay, there he goes. That is Coach Kerr. Lot to react to there. And we will, coming up next, we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. But real quick, keyword time, and the keyword is forward. The keyword for our knockout tournament for today's entrant is forward. And sometime in the next 25 minutes, you're going to hear this sounder. Don't call now, but the next time you hear that, be ready with the keyword forward. And the phone number, our contest line, 415-523-4652. You got the number, you got the word, you're ready to go. When you hear the sounder again, then it's time to call in. So keep listening, and that is going to be on the way. Your call's next, 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I just think we had gotten to a point, you know, that really this year where we didn't have the whatever it is, you know, however you want to describe it, we didn't have the it factor anymore. And wasn't anybody's fault. Sometimes you just need new blood. I think the West has gotten so much better. Teams around us have gotten so much better. And frankly, we needed what Jimmy is bringing us, which is kind of a, you know, a star confidence. You know, you can just feel his presence and his force.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
That's a pretty fair answer, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's pretty, that's an interesting inside answer. I thought, Steve, first of all, taking us through, and I love you, you kind of digging for like what happens inside the locker room.
Right.
You called everybody in and what happens. And I get it. He's not going to be like, so I sat there and I went to Dennis first and I went, you're gone. And then I went over to, right? Like he's not going to do that. But Steve passing along the difficulty of that need, of that night, but the organizational understanding that a different set of ingredients was needed. And I think that that's what I notice. I think that's what a lot of us notice. And it's just a weird 6 days. They looked sad in Utah. Now they couldn't look happier. That's one of those things, you know, like it's difficult, but I think everybody agreed it was needed. And now you sort of, you're seeing why.
Yes, and you're seeing that this is the team that you're going to have. There's no more uncertainty about KD or LaVine or Vucevic or Cam Johnson or Brandon Ingram or Zion or Jimmy Butler. This is your team. So, yeah, Quentin, keep shooting threes. And Moody, you're getting PT now. Kuminga's coming back. Dennis is gone. Slow-mo is gone. Melton is gone. This is your team. So all of the uncertainty about, you know, the roster composition and all the rest of it, it goes away. Now, there are playing time questions and the rest of it, but there's a certain amount of clarity that comes with the deadline being behind you, and you brought in a guy who has competed at the highest level. He hasn't won a title, but he's been to a couple of finals here in the last 5 years. He is a dog and somebody who has been a part of winning teams, and so you inject that into your locker room, a new personality and a new spark, and now it's time to boogie, as you would say.
Yeah, what else stood out to you? I want to point out one other thing that I thought was an interesting answer. Look, I didn't say that it was the Brian Windhorst report, but it was. It was a Brian Windhorst report that Steph Curry and Steve Kerr in particular were concerned about the locker room fit. And in asking him about that, I heard something and didn't hear something. I did not hear Steve say, no, we weren't concerned at all. I didn't hear him say that. What I heard him say, though, was also, like, you'd be surprised at how little input we have about that. I buy it and don't buy it. I think that there's more discussion that goes on behind closed doors than what Steve is letting on. But he says, look, locker room fit's been great so far. That's easy. It's been 5 days or whatever. But, you know, he did not refute the report, but sort of refuted it in a way of saying, like, it's not up to me. It's not up to me if we bring in a new player.
It's not, and I do like the idea of separation of church and state, although if you look at the government now, there is almost no separation between church and state. I don't want to get too political about that part of it, but there used to be a definitive separation of those two entities, and now not so much. And I do believe the same thing applies to an NBA team where, yes, Steph and Steve are worried about playing and coaching, and Mike Dunleavy is worried about being the general manager and trying to shape the roster. But if there's a question about a player or a fit, you're telling me that he's not going to knock on Steve's door or pull Steph aside and Draymond after practice and say, hey, what do you know about Jimmy Butler? And what do you think about maybe being a teammate with Jimmy Butler? For me, to think that that didn't happen, at least informally, is a little bit of a long shot.
I agree with you. That said, when Steve's like, I never met the guy. You know, all I can do is think about you, me, or any other human being. Like, you hear stuff about people, but if you've never met them, I try my you-know-what off to be like, I'm not basing an opinion now on stuff I've heard from other people. That's your experience. I want to go have my experience. If I don't like something or something's not fitting, okay, then now I've got my own opinion. But if Steve Kerr's literally never met Jimmy Butler, I wonder how firm or not firm of an opinion he even had about locker room fit.
Probably not very firm, but I would imagine that Steph and Draymond have either met him. I'm sure they've met him at least in a post-game, good game, bro moment. If not, had more of a defined, definitive relationship and an impression therein. So if you're Mike Dunleavy and you're thinking about a move, and the Kevin Durant one's a good example. So you're kind of hot after Kevin Durant, and you're wondering if he might be a guy who would be open to coming back here. I don't know if Mike Dunleavy can call Kevin Durant, but Steph sure can. So Steph gets wind of how close they are, and it's like, hey, Steph, if you wouldn't mind, just reach out to Kevin and see what he's thinking about this idea. And that's where you would involve a player. And, you know, you probably pull Steph Curry aside and say, you know, what do you think of Jimmy Butler? Have you played with him? Have you played against him? What are your impressions of Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I get that. Although the Kevin thing, no one even needed to think about it. You need to think about it from the standpoint of, like, would Kevin come back?
Right.
Is Kevin open to something like that? But you don't have to worry about, like, would Kevin fit here? Yeah. Kevin would fit here.
But would Kevin want to come back here?
No.
I'm not saying that they asked Steph to call him. I'm sure Steph just called him because he was interested himself as the trade talks got, you know, pretty animated and heated. And so that's all part of doing your due diligence.
888-957-9570, the number. What we've been asking all day is, based on what we've seen now, these two games, what are you most excited about with regard to Jimmy Butler? And does anybody already think that some sort of an about face is necessary? Like, if you didn't like the trade, have you just straight changed? Is it, for me, that's a little quick. I would admit there's some things that have gone well so far that I wasn't necessarily thinking about. And it really is that calming of the fourth quarter when the Warriors just get stagnant and they're not able to get off a good shot and everybody runs towards Steph and there's nobody else that can do anything. Jimmy Butler in those moments so far has been able to be like, give me the ball, I'll get to the free throw line, we'll calm this down. That's huge. That's huge. Will it continue? He's not going to average 14 trips to the free throw line per night. Like, this is a little inflated so far. So where's it going to go next? I don't know. But I'll admit that. But it's a little early for any sort of an about face. Like, I do want to keep stressing, it's been two games. But what are your impressions? 888-957-9570, the number. Oh, and by the way, before we go back to the phones, a gentle reminder that I would stay right where you are if you want to get in the knockout tournament. Because Birdie tells me you're probably going to hear that sounder within the next 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then it'll be boogie time. And see if you can call and win your way into our knockout tournament in early March. Guru in San Jose. What's up, Guru? What are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm just driving back home. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. You've got quite some gumption to call yourself Guru and call this radio station.
That is actually my real name, guys.
Okay, so, perfect. Then it works. It works out well.
Yeah, it better. You know what I mean?
Right?
So, yeah. Yeah. Anyways, forget about my name for just a second here. I wanted to talk about Jimmy, obviously. And, I mean, the thing that impressed me the most, especially in the Milwaukee game, is that very specifically the Bucks went to a 2-2-1 zone for a couple of possessions in yesterday's game. And that has been the Warriors' kryptonite over the past couple of years just because they didn't really have someone in the middle of the zone who could make a play. Like, even with Draymond, if Draymond was in the middle of the zone, everybody and their mother knew that he was going to try to pass rather than take a floater or take a jump shot, right? So with Butler in the middle of the zone, you can see that he's able to make clean decisions, and also he clears up the lane because the one in front of the zone wants to come up and guard him, and that just opens up so much, and you can see that he's smart enough to make that decision, and he kind of reminds me of Andre Iguodala in that way, his playmaking ability, though he is a more offensively gifted version than Iguodala, and Iguodala is a better on-ball defender. But like coming to the other point you guys were talking about, where does Kuminga fit once he comes back? I think like if Kuminga is playing at the level that he was playing before he got hurt, I actually think the Warriors' best lineup is actually Butler at the four. And you would play Steph, Buddy Hield, Kuminga, Butler, and Quinton Post. I think that's your best five. I know I'm leaving Draymond out.
Yep.
But that really allows the Warriors to be a little bit more free flowing on offense, I think. And I think Butler's more of a four on defense than a three. So I actually think that with Kuminga being the cutter and the slasher, Butler can find him, and that's really his best role. And I think when Kuminga comes back, if he's playing at the level that he's playing at, that might be our best lineup. So just my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I don't find enough defense with that lineup, Guru. If you watch Quentin Post on defense right now, he's being picked on and he is being pinpointed. He's not a rim protector as a 7-footer. And if you've got Buddy on the floor and Steph, and you don't have Draymond Green out there, for me, defensively, you are porous.
I think that's a fair point. I think it's a fair point. And then there's this side of it. Like, I'll just come at this from sort of a predictive place. Steve ain't going to do that. He's not going to do that. Like, I am fully aware, I think we all are, that there is an appetite from a lot of Warrior fans for less Draymond Green. Whether that had been the, trade him to Phoenix, or whether that's just like, I'm so sick of Draymond, as Steve once said, or whatever. Draymond should come off the bench. I get it. I'm not going to even like discount any of those opinions. I just don't. I will predict that Steve won't do that. Like, I think that starting lineup is going to stay when Jonathan Kuminga comes back. I think you're looking at Steph, Buddy Hield, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Quentin Post. And Jonathan Kuminga is going to be your sixth man. And then you're going to see, you know, Moses Moody is going to come in and do some things. Kevon will come in and get your rebound here or there. GP2 will come in and stabilize defense out on the perimeter. Like, I think that's going to be the rotation when he gets back. And we did ask him about, like, what'd you think of what Jonathan was doing before he got hurt? He said he was playing the best basketball of his career.
Exactly.
And by the way, that was off the bench.
Right, and I don't think that fifth starter spot is in stone, because last night Quentin Post didn't start. It was mm-hmm. Draymond Green, and there are still spots, I believe, where Kevon Looney will get the start at center, depending on who you're going up against and, you know, what you need defensively from the five spot. You don't want Draymond Green to have to play a ton of five, but when you look at Quentin Post and he's in there and he's playing the five, quote unquote, he's not really playing the five. He's playing the stretch five. He's not a guy who's going to get in there and really mix it up a lot. He had no block shots and he only had 4 rebounds. So he's more of a unique guy when he plays the five. So I think when you look at the starting lineup, there's room for Kevon. There's certainly room for Quentin Post. The one guy who has really fallen out of favor is Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yes.
And, you know, it feels like he's now down into being the fourth string center behind Quentin and Draymond and Kevon Looney. And you don't want to see him totally get lost, but he's the kind of guy, much like Moses Moody, where you could not play him for a month and put him in there, and he can contribute because he has a very well-defined role.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder, look, I mean, all of it, they've talked so much, and Steve did even just now with us, like, they've talked so much about just that chemistry, that sauce, like, what are all the ingredients, right? And we needed to shake it up and do something different. Well, when you do that, there are certain skill sets that come in and get highlighted, and others that then get kind of pushed to the side. I would argue that Trayce Jackson-Davis, as a big man, is best in sort of a play-fast role. He's a finisher around the rim. He can put down a lob, all of that stuff. He's good in transition, but he's not like, he's not the rough and tough physical defender that Kevon Looney is, and certainly does not provide the stretch five nature of a Quentin Post. If you're going to start tailoring more of what you're doing around Jimmy Butler, you're probably going to play a little bit slower. That's a little bit more of a half-court game. And to me, whether it's on the offensive side with Post or the defensive side with Looney, that style fits those players more than it fits TJD.
It's a good point, I think, especially defensively. You know, and Kevon is a guy in the half court who sets a great screen, and Quentin Post is a guy in the half court offensively who can knock down the three. TJD does play a little bit faster, and, you know, defensively, he gives you more than Quentin Post, but not as much as Kevon Looney, so he's kind of in between the two. If you want an offensive big, it's Quentin Post. If you want a defensive big, it's Kevon. Trayce is not as good as either one at either of those two things.
There it is. That's the sounder. Okay, we got 10 spots left for the knockout tournament, and we're going to give one of them away right now. So you've got the keyword. We gave that to you earlier this hour. Now you got to call the contest line, which if you don't have it, here it is, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. The first person that calls in, gets through, and gives the correct keyword is in to the knockout tournament, Chase Center Floor, Monday, March 3rd, with all of us just hooping it up, having a good time, and playing knockout. Again, that contest line, 415-523-4652. We wish good luck to all of you, but remind you that there are 9 more spots to give. 3 tomorrow, 3 Thursday, 3 on Friday, 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., every single day. Good luck, and thank you so much for trying and for listening here on 95.7 The Game. All right, back out to the phones. Al in the city. Hey, Al, you're on with Willard and Dibs. What's good?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for getting me on. Hey, you know, the lineup is fine with Quinn Post, but I believe, you know, he's a rookie, and they're just going to eat him up inside the biggies, the other centers from the other team. So he, you know, next year I think he'd be a better, explosive center. Now he's going to have a year under his belt. But I would use a Looney and a Hill, Curry, and Butler, and also Kuminga starting. Have Green come off of the bench, man, and see where it goes from there. And, and Quinn Post, I say you could bring him in, but, you know, when they have a good lead, you know, he can help out. But as far as starting, the other center is going to tear Quinn Post up. But next year he should be better. Thank you.
Yeah, Al, thanks very much. First off, we want to announce, did you say Jason and San Mateo? Congrats to Jason and San Mateo. We thank you very much for listening. You are the winner of today's knockout 4 o'clock spot. We appreciate you so much for listening, and we look forward to meeting you at Chase Center on March 3rd.
Yeah, Jason immediately installed as the favorite in the knockout contest. So
Based on
the fact that he just called, and I can say that with Mark Grandy here, the defending champ, the guy who's clinging to his little trophy so tightly, but it's going to be gone.
Whoever our most recent entrant is, that's the favorite.
Yeah,
because
hello.
We're just like,
you get the bit.
Like, come on, thank you. Jason and San Mateo. Sounds like a baller.
A baller to San Mateo, as you know, known for its outside shooting.
Jason, years ago.
Good solid name. So I like Jason. I like Jason's chances. We're going to put you right behind the Grandy man.
Did you get a height and weight when he called Lucas and Grandy?
No.
6'5".
Yep.
220.
We got to get the measurables on some of these people.
Yeah, we do. We do. I want to see a roster.
I was answering the phone for one on Steiny and Guru the other day, and the winner told me, I'm coming for you, Grandy.
Nice! Yeah,
that's right. You're a controversial figure around these parts this time of year. All right, so there it is. To answer Al's point, though, let me definitively come out and say this right now. Jonathan Kuminga should not start when he gets back, and that's for his benefit. Not because somebody hates young people.
Well, he would prefer to start. I don't know if he would agree with you that it's for his benefit.
That's fine. He can disagree all he wants. I know he wants to start. To me, that's more about like your standing within the NBA fraternity. You were scoring 30-plus points for a couple of nights leading into the injury. You did that coming off of the bench. Why, for those of you who want Jonathan to be featured, why do you want him on the floor with Steph and Jimmy at the beginning? We're talking about when he comes in off of the bench. At times, it'll be replacing Jimmy. Other times, it'll be when Steph is out, where the offense has a little bit more room to run through some other people. I would argue that there are going to be more shots for Jonathan Kuminga off of the bench, at least for the first half of the basketball game, than there would be at the start, where things are clearly going to be, at times, going through a two-man game with Steph and Jimmy.
And if you look at the way the rotation has been going early on in the Jimmy Butler experience, it's 5 minutes of Jimmy Butler, and then he comes out.
Yep.
He comes out so he can go back in when Steph comes out. You want Jimmy Butler on the floor for the majority, if not all, of the non-Steph minutes. And I'm looking at the game last night where GP2, 5 minutes in, comes in for Jimmy Butler. So that largely will be the Jonathan Kuminga spot, I would guess, where Butler plays the first five and Kuminga, you don't start, but you come in with 6 or 7 minutes left in the quarter, and then you get a chance to shine alongside Steph, and then start of the second quarter, you're in there as well, and then Steph would come back in. So you'll get 8 minutes early on, and the majority of those will be without Steph Curry.
All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. If you haven't heard about our Slam Dunk in Vegas contest, it's bananas. We'll tell you about that next. And for those of you just getting off work, getting in the car, we had Steve Kerr on earlier in the show. We'll let you hear what he had to say about everything Warrior-related. Jimmy, Andrew, Quentin Post, and beyond, the conversation with Steve Kerr, not far around the corner on Willard and Dibbs.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.